Well, we're going to be finishing up this morning, lining up with God's Word to receive healing. We laid down all the foundation and things of this teaching so people could come to the place where they're ready to receive their healing. And so we found out that really that's an important thing. And we talked about the fact that that's where a lot of people make their mistake is they never believe they receive. They're always trying to get God to do something for them. That's one thing that you can look to see for yourself, whether or not you're in faith. If you're trying to get God to heal you, you're not in faith. If you're doing that, if you're trying to get God to heal you, you are not in faith. That would be scripturally wrong to believe that way. So it's important that we come to the place, and we laid all the foundation. We can't go back through everything that we, taught, but these foundational teachings, we looked at them and went through so many scriptures, and that was for the purpose so people could be settled in the fact that it's God's will for them to be well. And really, how to receive it, how we do it, how God gives healing power, we looked at that. And so last week, last 2 weeks, we've been talking about some of these areas about once we believe we receive. Because really, at the time that you come to the place of faith where you're in faith and you declare your faith, that's when really the war begins. That's when the battle starts. And the Bible calls it a good fight of faith, and faith is a good fight. Is most people aren't having a good time, but the whole thing here is they're in a faith, they call it a faith battle, but it's really not a faith battle because they've really never come to faith. They're not in faith. They are battling, and their battle is they're trying to get in faith. That's their battle. Well, that's not the faith fight. The Bible doesn't really deal with the standpoint of talking about a battle of getting in faith, because we come to the places we're going to either believe it's true or not. you have a choice. You're either going to believe that something's true. And we were talking about the fact is, building that foundation, it is never easy from the standpoint of building a foundation of faith because it takes time. And that's where people, I don't think people generally have it so hard. Most people's problem is they're trying to have faith in God and really not do what you have to do to come to a place of faith in God, because that would consume their time. And people today are too busy. They're too busy doing too many different things that don't need to be done, that don't need, the things that they think are so important is, number one, I found a long time ago my health was much more important than a lot of things. I'll tell you, I found this out. With good health, you can prosper. Good health, you can get a job, you can make money. But if you have bad health, prospering isn't hard. The Bible says when you put your hand to do, God will prosper you in it. So all I want, the big thing is to stay well so you can prosper. And so where people make their big mistake is they go over and they're trying to do all these different things. They're trying to do all this different stuff in life. And the things that are important, they're not doing. And it does require us time. And, it isn't hard. It isn't hard to sit down and, meditate on scriptures and read through scriptures on healing and that kind of stuff and go over in yourself. It's not hard, but it does take time. And that's what people today don't like, anything that takes time generally. We don't like that anymore in our society. We want everything, you pull up the McDonald's window, pull up there that thing, you tell them what you want, you go around, you pay for it. I mean, people are even mad if there's a long line there, and they got, my words, it took me 20 minutes to get through McDonald's. Oh my God, isn't that awful? I mean, the world ended. Say, well, you know what? You could have been meditating on some scriptures while you were going around there instead of fussing. But you had plenty of time to fuss, and you had plenty of time, and all the time in the world to complain and do everything else, and all the time in the world to do all this other junk and doing things. But you didn't meditate, and you didn't, use your time. People say, we don't have time to pray. Well, my words, you can sit in a line like that. You can pray in tongues, do all kinds of stuff. You can do all kinds of things that are sitting in that line. But we don't do that, I'm sorry. I'm too busy complaining. We don't have time for this. But we can. And it's one thing, as I found out, it took time. I don't know how much time and to try to figure out the hours that I spent my first 3 years in Christianity, really in the areas that I would take and study on healing. That'd be thousands of hours. I would I would listen to tapes on it. I would read my Bible. I would read books. I just focused a lot on healing. And really, that's where God, I believe, was leading me. I believe God was leading me in that area. But I found out it was one of the things I'll never forget. I mean, I was probably born again, probably not a year, quite a year I was born again, when one day I was up in my bedroom and I was had been just spending time in the Word, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you know, that when people, you know, the God wants people born again. That's number one, is you're filled with the Holy Ghost. But the Lord said to me, for His people, He said, people being filled with the saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, that's what He wants. But He said, for His people, the number one thing outside of that, the number one thing He wants them to have is to be healed, to be healthy. It's number one, He said, on the agenda. Well, most Christians, that's not today, most Christians is finances. Is the number one on their agenda. This is why things don't work for people. They're not working in God's agenda. They're over here wearing themselves out, believing for money, being sick, trying to get money, worried about the money thing. I've never spent much time worried about the money thing. I always found out when I'm well, we can make things work. When you're well, and that's why well is so important, and that's why laying these foundations, it's so important to do these things, because God... You know, just think about it. It's God's will for you to be well. And I understand that. It needs to come to you. It's like Kenneth Hagin said, and I talked about this in the beginning. When I heard Kenneth Hagin said, he said, it's not a sin to get sick, but he said it's a sin to stay sick. Why would that be? Why? Because it's the will of God for you to be healed. Did you ever think about being sick, staying sick, is being out of the will of God? Did you ever think about that? See, people don't think the same way that the Bible talks. They don't think, we have this way of thinking, but as Christianity put things in. See, when I go over into things, it's just like this. Well, is it the will of God for me to be saved? Yeah, so if I'm not saved, am I in the will of God? No. Is that good or bad? Well, think about it. Now, look, I'm not saying any of this condemnation, but see, the way that we think about stuff, we don't think about it. If God... Now, and we want to think about it properly. If God's is so strong on His will being carried out, then being well can't be some huge complicated thing. Was it some huge complicated thing to get saved? Did you have to do some great feat to get born again? Or, you know, climb Mount Everest and go up there and get in a yoga position and go, you know, I don't know what, or whatever they do, I don't know. That might be the Buddhist thing, that thing. I don't know, but I'm not sure. Anyhow, but we didn't. And see, when people, God couldn't have made it difficult. Where we deal with the difficulty is in the area, is like, and I learned from Kenneth Hagin, was the fact he said, where the church is the number one thing that the church needs is a renewed mind. That's what took me so long, is to changing the way that I thought. Because, I mean, we're raised... Really, most people are not raised, I don't care if they're in churches, and what we call good churches are not raised, really, with up in areas of Christianity and with the right kind of renewed mind. And I found out, I knew people, they weren't bad people trying to teach you wrong, but I found that people really didn't know much about these things, and I found that there wasn't a lot of people that knew much about it. And I had to try to find people that knew something about something. Because I wanted to attain. And when I ran into Kenneth Hagin, his expertise in the areas of healing, I stayed and walked close and listened to his stuff. I didn't listen to much anybody else said about it. Because I knew he knew how to make it work. And it's one thing is I knew, if he knew how to make it work, if I did what he did, it'd work. Now, somebody may know something else. Fine. But can they? If I look at the guy, I'm looking for results. If I want to arrive at something, I look at results. And when I find, it took a lot for me to get out of me the thinking that I had been taught over the years. That's what takes time. People go to church, sit down, listen to a sermon, go out and say, that's good. But go right back to their old thinking. They never, it was number one, you're not going to hear a sermon and it's just going to change your mind. You have to, over time, take that principle, keep putting it into yourself, putting it into your thinking, talking about it, reading about it. Just keep doing it till, after a while, that's the way you think. It doesn't just happen. You can't hear something and just get it like that. I can't remember what the statistics are exactly, but they used to tell us at Rhema about when something you just heard, if you heard it, and that's all you did is you heard it one time, and if you didn't turn around and, you know, write it down and meditate on that stuff, it was within less than 24 hours, you will forget about like 70% of what you heard. Well, I know that's true. I did this numbers of times in our church. I'd get up Sunday morning and ask, what did I preach about last Sunday? And not one hand would go up. People would have to sit down and think. They'd look through their Bibles for their bulletins. Why? And I knew this. All week they hadn't even thought about it. They heard, but they hadn't thought a thing about it. Why? And you lose it. And I'm telling you, you do. And so they started to, they teach you, like, if you heard something and like taking notes, just writing something down because of hearing it and seeing it, because you do, when you're writing it, you're seeing your writing, but you're doing more. When you're writing it, you're running it through your memory. When a person hears something and writes it down, I forget how much more extends the time period that you remember. It really extends it. If you hear it, you write it down, and then read it, it extends it a much longer period of time. It keeps extending it. In other words, you're getting it more into you. See, when people, this is what most people need to do. And this is why TV, I'm on TV preaching, and it is that TV preaching is bad, but it's bad for most people because of what they do. All they do is sit and listen. And they walk away from it, forget it. They don't write nothing down. They don't go back over to remember it. And really, it's not doing them much good. It's not doing much good. That's why, like, say, when I listen, I do this stuff mostly with my MP3 player and that stuff, and I have a message, and I'll just go over it and listen to it over and over and over, and I listen to it. I listen to it. I'm driving down the road in my car, and he says a certain thing, and I know it grips my heart. I'll say what he said. But I listen to it, and I listen to it, I just keep going over it till I get it, till I remember what was said. And you have to do that. You can't get away, because under one, you're trying to renew your mind. You're trying to renew it. And understand, when we use the term renew, it means you have something else in there. And you're trying to change what you have in there. See, if you and I were born and raised from the time that we were little and born and raised, and we were taught right the whole time up through, you know, you wouldn't have to renew your mind. That would all be just the regular learning. But what you and I are doing is trying to get stuff out and put things in. And you know what? That requires more work. I don't care what anybody says. Because the things that you were taught, things in the past, they get deep-seated in you. Why? Because you've heard them so many times. You've said them so many times. You've thought about it so many times. You've read things with them, and they get in you. Whether people like it or not, it gets in your thought patterns. And so you have to change that. And that requires work. And that is not always easy to do. That wasn't easy. I remember when I got born again, there was a lot I rejected about the what I believed and what I was taught as a kid in church. But I still found there was things that would turn around and were really nipping at my heels all the time. I had to eventually get around. Most people do this. I've said this before. Most people, they find out what's true, and all they do is they add it to what they already believe, and all they got's a dirty mixture. It's just a mixture of dirt. They have that. They say, well, I believe this. Yeah, but you believe that too. You got these two things, and those two things are running contrary to one another. You know, James said the guy who's double-minded is unstable in all his ways. He's thinking one way here and one way there. He's thinking, you know, it's why? He said he's unstable in all his ways. So we need to know that. And we looked at Jesus. What we're talking about really is doing this is when we face this battle, we talked about the fact that you have to begin to use your voice. When thoughts come, when you get to the place you really receive your healing, that's when really the battle starts. We looked at Jesus last week in his temptation in the wilderness, and when he was tempted, what he did. And we found out he was tempted for 40 days. He wasn't tempted one day. 40 days. It's a 40-day fast and 40 days of temptation. So he's standing and speaking the word of God. And so if Jesus operated that way, when you and I are tempted, and we're tempted by this, the majority of the time, you are tempted by thought comes to you, the most of the time. Sometimes you may be tempted by what someone says, or You know, you could have the thing where an audible voice would sort of, what you might think someone sounds like an audible voice. You know, demonic spirits sometimes can operate in very powerful ways. You know, it seems almost sometimes a thought comes up to you or something said against you, you know, that speaks against the direction you're going. And, you know, it's sort of like that there, you know, the old cartoon things, that little devil sitting on your shoulder talking in your ear. You need to know this. Sometimes your own flesh don't like the way that you're going. It does not feel comfortable. Your flesh has a voice if you haven't noticed. Mine has a voice, and sometimes that voice wants to get very loud. You have to say, flesh, shut up. Hold it. The flesh says, no, let's do something else. I don't like this. This ain't what I want to do. No, we're not going to pray. I think the toaster's running. I think we better go check that. The flesh says, you sure you didn't leave the coffee on? I don't. Are you sure? You better go out and make sure you close the door on the car. You know, we don't want the battery to go down. None of you guys ever get those kinds of thoughts, do you, when you want to? Do you think that stuff's natural? You know, people think that stuff just is not. You know, people don't realize the whole time they are. There's thoughts being brought to them. It's being brought. They're never doing nothing about it. What they do is, oh, okay, let's go do that. And they don't realize what they're doing. They don't stop and say, hold it in the name of Jesus. They don't ever say a thing about it. What happens? They entertain that thought and then they follow that thought out. That's what gets in their mind. They have just yielded to that thought. They never stop and say, hey, hold it. No, we're not doing this. Here's what we're doing right now. Well, somebody calls on the phone. You have to answer. You know, who the heck with Jesus? Talking to Jesus? Who cares? It's important to answer the phone. It may be important. It is probably the UN calling to find out what I think on a subject. So it is important, you know. What if something happened and somebody needs to get a... Oh, that's it, people. I tell you, it's one of the best things you do is, you know, if you want to pray, you know, have somebody take your phone and go 1,000 miles away from you. You don't. The devil will urge somebody to call you. And look, he's got plenty of people to listen to him who are in the church, and they'll call you. And they won't even know why they called. They'll think it was really important. This is good stuff anyway, folks. But we have all this in our society, things going on, it goes on all the time and stuff where we can't stay focused and we don't stay concentrated on things. And you don't do that, you can't renew your mind. You know, you can't renew your mind. You can't renew your mind. You know, I see people sitting around and say, well, you know, I'm listening to tapes and stuff and I'm doing this and they're over here. You know, you don't really listen well when you're doing other stuff. You know, it's nothing matter with having things on time and doing, but you spend most of your time concentrating on other things and you don't really get stuff. Like, you know, try to read a book and go do something and do other, you know, and type at the same time. You know, or do something. You can't. And people are trying to do things and some things require your attention. It's like with myself, there's things at times that I just got to give things to my attention and shut everything else down. And they have to do that. And to build yourself in the area where you become confident, the battle starts. If Jesus would not have built himself, and just think, he didn't start into his ministry until he was 30 years old. What do you think he was doing all that time before? He definitely wasn't hanging out with the rest of the guys, doing everybody else was doing. How was he able? He is spending time. He was spending time in the Word. He got to know the Word of God. And when temptation comes, he could stand on it. And so we want to do that. Last week we talked about really an important area was thanksgiving, and it's thanksgiving by faith. And we looked over into what James had told us concerning that, because thanksgiving is so important. People aren't thankful. One of the things Doug Jones made the statement and said, you know, when you were, one of the things to do is after you believe you receive your healing, he said, one of the things to do is thank God and continually thank God that he taught you the principles and he taught you what the Word of God says, and continue to stay thankful that you know the principles of the Word to be healed, and thank God for doing that, for giving you those, and thank God for showing you things in the Scriptures. You know, sometimes people, we have a tendency to take the Word the word for granted and not really really show it the respect that we should be showing the Word of God. You know, it told us that we were supposed to count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations. In other words, when you're tempted, we're supposed to count it joy. Now, if you couldn't count it joy. Now, he didn't say it was joy, did he? He said he counted joy. He didn't say it was joy. Nobody ever summarized it. Boy, I just can't wait to be tempted. Ah, boy, I'm just really, wow. But when temptation comes, you count it all joy if you can, if you know what the Word says and you know what to stand on and you're doing it, you can count it joy. You know, the trying of your faith work is patience, and patience has its perfect work. You're perfect entire, wanting nothing. Well, is the whole thing of it is, you know you can succeed. You can have joy. And really, that's the good fight of faith. That is the good fight. But if you haven't, if a person hasn't spent the time and they're not responding to it, temptation properly, you have to, when temptation comes, when something comes that tries to move you off of what you believe, you have to respond to it correctly. You know, yes, I know, you know, God heals, but he wants you sick for a purpose. Well, if you know he wants you well, you have to, but not to just think it, you have to voice it. You got to voice it. You got to learn to talk back. If you let the devil talk to you and you don't talk back, he'll lick you every time. He'll lick you every time. This is what most people do. This is where most people miss it in faith. They think if they ignore the devil, nothing happens. Hold it. You let him keep doing the talking. It's just like anything. I keep listening to something. Good chance after a while, I'm going to start believing something I've been hearing. You need to talk back. You need to voice. We talked about things about you should voice. One of the things is thanksgiving. If you believed you received something from God, if you believe you received your healing, like Mark 11:24 says when you're prayed, or it tells us when hands are laid on us, we're supposed to believe we receive the healing power of God. We're supposed to do that. If we believe that, then we should constantly use that in a thing of thanksgiving. All the time. We should. Until the time that your manifestation or whatever shows up to your healing is completed, you should be thanking God that you believe that you're healed. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad you healed me. I'm so thankful that you taught me to believe how to receive so I could receive my healing. Thank you, Lord. It's staying thankful, believing you receive something. If a person's not talking that something, then what they're going to do is they're going to turn around and they're going to stand up and thank God for healing them after it's done. In other words, most of the time they don't ever see nothing ever happen. It's because they're only going to believe they received anything when it shows up. And then that's when they're going to be thankful. You know? And that isn't how faith works. Faith don't work like that at all. And see, that's why we live in a culture that is running differently than we do. Most Christians operate under our culture about thankfulness. Majority of Christians, that's the way they do, and they think they're doing right, and they're not. They don't even understand Bible thankfulness. They don't even understand it. They don't understand thankfulness by faith at all, and they'll think they're doing good as a person. They'll think, I'm a good person, you know. Somebody gives me something, I thank them for it. Well, they'll only thank when they see. Ain't no faith in that. Every sinner can do that. They don't have to go to a church once, listen to one Bible message, don't have to ever do nothing, and they can do that. And so we need to understand, stay over in the area of thankfulness. And you thank God that, you know, and stay over in the areas of thanking God that He has been being good to you. He's been liberal to you, and He's liberal. God, I'm so thankful you're a liberal giver. I want to thank you. I know without a doubt, Lord God, it's your will to heal, for me to be well, and I just want to thank you for revealing that to me. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. I believe I receive my healing. You gave it to me. It's like I told you, you know, Kenneth Hagin told the story of the woman. She began to thank God that she was healed. She was in a wheelchair. She said, boy, you know, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. I'm so glad I don't have to sit in this wheelchair anymore. She hadn't got up, walked out of that thing. This woman was acting in faith. She's pleasing God. Here's our society today in Christianity. When they get out of the wheelchair, they start thanking God, acting like they did some big thing of faith. They didn't do nothing by faith. Lots of times they got healed by a gift of the Spirit. It wasn't by their faith at all, because they had no faith in believing anything. They only got thankful when they got out. They didn't believe they received anything, or they'd have been thanking God in the chair. And see, this is one thing, is operating over in the areas of faith. This is where faith, thanksgiving by faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, is thanking God before you see it, believing you have it, believing it belongs to you, being thankful. Now, there's some other things that we want to look at here that I want to talk about, because there's some things about, and really, in maintaining your position, because it takes a time, and I said about that, it takes time to position yourself. You're not going to ever get away with that. It takes time. Time is involved to position yourself or get in line with God's Word to receive healing. That takes time. And a person is going to have to decide whether they're going to take the time. So it'll take time. And once it does, it takes time to learn to maintain your position. When I first started off in understanding healing, I had a lot of difficulty. You know, at first, I did a lot of things to learn to get in line. But once I got in line and learned how to do that, then I would run into difficulty staying in position till things happened, till they showed up in the natural. And that's where I had to learn there. See, learning to move into the area of faith is one area. And most people, lots of times, they'll learn how to get into faith, but once they get into faith, they don't learn how to know how to stand there. They never learn how to stand there. And these are the things that I'm teaching now, is how to stand there once you get there. Once you've received, then you got to do something. Now, the faith fight is on. It's the faith fight. It's maintaining now your position that you believed you received. And you believe it belongs to you, and you got your healing. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's mine. I own it in the name of Jesus. Well, how do I maintain that? Because most of the time, you're going to have a period of time, you're going to be the trying of your faith worketh patience. You're going to be operating in that. Now, one thing we need to know, your level of faith is going to determine the length of time it will take for you to get well. You need to understand this. You know, it's like anything. I mean, if I go out here as one person and we want to push, say, a car that's facing up this hill, and I go out here and getting a car started pushing up that grade don't seem like much till you try to push a car from there, and you're going to struggle. It might want to come back to you when you take it out of gear. It might want to visit you and ain't going forward. But you put an amount of strength to it, it push it up that hill. You know, you may be able to do that. There's people may be able to get it, but I'll tell you what, the whole thing of it is getting that thing started off to move. Once you start it off to move, then it's easier. Once you get those wheels moving, energy-wise, it's easier. But getting that thing started off. Now, by myself, now if somebody comes out and helps me, that makes a huge difference. In other words, more force is going to cause something to happen. You need to understand that your faith is in the same way. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. I've heard him say about it. He said, you know, that he talked about people not having the faith for an instantaneous healing. They don't have the faith for it. See, you need to understand the faith that you're operating in as an individual. You need to know where your faith is at. When I first started off in the areas of healing, you know, I mean, I was pushing all the faith I had just to get a headache stopped. I learned how to do it, though. I could push that headache up a hill. I could do it. I could. But then other things would come along, I pushed. I remember the first time I stood against flu. I mean, I'm going to tell you, it took every ounce of everything I had standing in faith to bring it to stop. First time I ever got the flu, though, I got to say this. I did pretty good as a young Christian. I mean, I wasn't even born again a year. And the flu tried to come on me at Reese's at work. And boy, by the afternoon, I was in a battle. Man, I'll tell you what, I wanted to go lay down somewhere and die. But and what was bad about it, I was working Kit Kat Kitchen on the ovens. And you're standing up there, and them ovens are 500-some degrees. And you're up there working around that heat on those ovens. And you're up there, man, and it's like, oh, my words, hot. You got all these symptoms are yelling at you, and I'm standing believing God. But you know, till the end of the day, I was completely well. End of the day, I had no symptoms whatsoever. I mean, that was a pretty outstanding thing to me. I mean, I thought, wow, dear Lord, I did it. But I'll tell you, I'll be honest with anybody. Man, in the middle of the day, I didn't feel like I was going to win this thing. I thought I was going to die. But I was just stubborn about it. I go, man, I'm going to believe God. And I mean, I talked to myself a lot. I was confessing. Praise God, I'm healed. Oh my God, I want to fall over. But I mean, it was battle. It was war. I don't remember much any joy parts. I hadn't learned much about that counting of joy. I mean, I thought, oh my God, I'm getting beat up. But I was operating where it was. I'm going to tell you what, it took everything of my faith to just push against that. I mean, everything. I mean, it was really a war for me. It was really a war. And but, you know, going through that was one of my learning stages of those things. And we need to understand that. You need to understand your level of faith where you're able to stand. That's why over a long period of time, you can't wait till you're sick to start trying to believe God. This is why when you're well, that's when you should be studying healing. That's when you should be confessing scriptures. That's when you should be saying things. Because when the battle starts, you're already sick. Now you're trying to get in faith. I'm sorry. The car's going to run you down. I'm just sorry. It's going to run you down. You know, you're going to have tire tracks on you. And you need to understand this now, and that's why. Because you need to know where your level of faith is at of what you're going to have to do. Can you stand? Here's one thing you have to fight when this battle comes. Can I stand the belief for divine healing, or am I going to have to get some help? You need to know that. You got to understand where your faith's at. It's one thing, I've watched people, you know, trying to stand for divine healing, and they were nowhere in faith to try to do that. They needed to go get some other help because their faith wasn't going to take them through it. They didn't have the faith to take them through it. They didn't have it. And they don't know it because they don't ever really train themselves. They're just trying to understand, clear things up with yourself. Because not going to a doctor is not faith. That's not faith. That has nothing to do with faith. Not going to a doctor has nothing to do with faith. Get that clear in yourself. Because you don't go to a doctor, that don't mean you have faith. I know people. In fact, I did funerals for two people who wouldn't deal with things over in the areas because they needed medical help and they wouldn't do it. But they didn't do it because of faith. They did it because of their own stubbornness. One guy was afraid of doctors. But he used to use it as a thing of saying, oh, well, I'm in faith. Yeah, I'm going to use faith because no, we had a fear of doctors. Another one would use confession as a way of not admitting things of where he was at in his faith. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to do it. We don't make confession because we're trying to deny something. Understand where you can believe from. You know, you can get something done. I mean, if I know where I can believe, just like the energy and pushing that car, you don't want to go back behind that car and tell somebody to put it in neutral when you know you can't push that car. That's dumb. That ain't bright. You know? Go put some blocks under those tires in the back and then tell them to take the brake off and then give it a shot. But you need help. You don't do it. And you understand that with your faith. I think sometimes people have destroyed their faith because of not knowing where they're at. They tried to stand, thought they were in faith. They weren't in faith because they didn't understand things. And then they sort of gave up on the faith thing. But it was because of their own stupidity. They just didn't know. They're big babies about it. Know where you can stand. Know what you can do. But when we position ourselves, we get to that place to believe that we receive healing. Now, sometimes a person may be already in a place where they're seeing a doctor. Well, you know, I've heard people, and you know, Doug Jones says, you know, well, just keep taking your medicine and all that stuff. Well, that's fine, but you have to listen to your own faith. That's what you have to do. And you're going to have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now remember that. Always listen. You're going to have to understand where your faith is at. You'll never come to the place to walk in divine healing if you always think you're going to need some other help. You understand that? You're only going to be able to receive on the level where you're believing from. You can't receive. Now, God could heal you through a gift of the Spirit or something like that could happen. But we're talking about your own individual faith producing something. That's what I'm talking about. Your own individual faith can only produce where you're at and at the level you're at. And if you're pushing against something, you have to know what your level is. When I started out off with things, sometimes I would deal with things that I could get ahead of, like to me. I mean, I can speak to a headache, get that thing, just poof. So headache try to come on me. In fact, I bet the last 10 years, it ain't no more than 3 or 4 times a headache's tried to come on me. And I just, but I still talked to it and I could get that to stop. But I learned over the years, I didn't wait till any of those times to study healing. When the headache came, I didn't get my Bible out then and start studying. That's what most people do. They get something coming, the first thing they do is they jump and they get it. No, you need to come up, be able to come up against it. When you come up against it, it's okay to go read the Word. But if you're going to the Word to try to get in faith, it's like Smith Wigglesworth said, if you wait to get in faith, if something happens, he said, you've missed it, you waited too long. So you don't do that. But you come along in the doctor. You got to need to know where your faith is, whether you need to continue taking your medicine or you can stop it. You know, you need to know that. Can I or can I? That's up to you. That's up to no other individual. Nobody could tell you that. If somebody tells you to stop taking it or to keep taking it, well, you need to ask, well, did God tell you that? Or, you know, if a person, you know, it's one thing if it's a guy tells me God told him he's supposed to quit taking it. And it doesn't matter what I think about it. If I think he ain't a place to stand, he believes God told him. That's up between him and God. And a person says, you know, they're supposed to keep taking it. God told them to. Well, they have to walk in the light of that. I don't. That's up to them. But you have to know what you need to do. Faith is not, we don't say that, you know, there's nowhere in Scripture say if you don't take medicine, you're in faith. That does it. If you need to take it to keep something under control, and you need to find this out, if you cannot bring something under control, now I'm not talking about something small. There's things in that stuff that, you know, don't threaten your life or threaten things around you or, you know, making you go drive down the road, run off the road and kill yourself if you don't take your medication. If you can't bring it under control, then you better take your medication. Because if your faith can't bring it under control, you need to do something. Let's be sensible about this. You have to understand where your faith's at. See, I've known people who've died because they wouldn't take medical treatment, and they didn't have the faith not to take medical treatment. They didn't have a faith to, their faith was not in a position to bring to pass for them what they wanted in the period of time it needed to be happening. And you need to understand that. And see, I don't know why, but as a young Christian, I could tell when I was in faith or not. I don't understand people today don't know whether they're in faith. I really have a hard time with that. I don't understand it. I could know whether I was believing or not. I knew whether I could stand or I couldn't. I never had one time that I've ever gotten a tough spot that God hadn't talked to me about it. Never one time. And I know this. God don't like Ed better than anybody else. God's always spoken to me about it. I've asked God situations at times that came up where, you know, serious things come up, and I said to him, what do you want me to do? And every one time he gave me options. And God will never give you an option you can't do. He'll give you options. I've had times say, well, you can stand and believe, or you can take him to the hospital. Which do you want? He asked me, which do you want? In other words, I knew this. If I wanted to stand and believe, I could make it work. He'd never tell you you can stand and believe and you didn't know how to do it. That'd be dumb, wouldn't it? Go ahead, stand and believe, and he knows you can't believe. Is God going to do that to you? I don't think so. Or he said, you can take him to the hospital. It's like when Elena, he had me ask her when she was 10 years old, what do you want? Do you want to believe for divine healing, or do you want to go to the hospital? And, you know, if you go to the hospital, they're going to x-ray your arm, they're going to put a cast on it. Do you want to do that? He told me to ask her that. What she wanted to do? Why? To get a direction set of what she wanted to go. What did she want to do? And see, these are things that you have to find out. But now, God wasn't speaking of those things that you just make a choice and you don't have. No, it's about now you're going to have to move your faith into that area. Now you're going to have to do it. We're talking about these things here, you know, that we do. If we stand in the area of faith, now we got to count it joy, thanking God. We believe we received it. Hallelujah. Standing. And to bring it to pass if you want to do it divine. But if you need help, and you need to know that. If you can't bring something under control, then you're going to need help. You're going to need help. You can't bring it under control. And so you have to know that. I've sometimes asked people, you know, about things they're standing for. I'm believing God for this or that, the other things. I've had people over the time doing things. And they said, well, they didn't want to take the medication. And I asked them because it was a serious thing. Serious. Because they were having some problems because of this, and they were serious problems. And because the you know things were getting out of control. And they said, well, they didn't want to take the medication. I said, this isn't about whether you want to take the medication. I said, let me ask you, how long have you been standing about this? And they said, oh, well, you know, I've been believing God, well, for a very time. I said, no, I didn't ask you. I said, how long? Well, they've been for years. And they got it worked. I said, you did all these years, and it ain't worked. It ain't about time to start taking the medication. Haven't you figured out you can't bring this thing into line in years? Wouldn't it be... I said, do you realize the damage you're doing to yourself, your body, by your stupidity? I said, take the medication, because you're not bringing it under control. So, what you say is faith ain't faith, because faith will produce something. Do you know, a little bit of faith will produce something. You know, it's just like on Sunday, the testimony of Eileen. In 2 weeks, bringing shingles under control. Man, I don't care. They put up for months. They put up with that junk. 2 weeks? Well, maybe she didn't get instantaneous, but her faith pushed that thing 2 weeks and brought it under control. Well, I mean, that's good. That's good. Well, she went. She got some medication from the doctor and things. But she worked her faith bringing things under control. Well, the next time, I'll guarantee you, she'll be able to get a hold of something a little bit more. See, it was the right thing that she did. It was a good thing that she did. Understanding where she was at. Yeah, one thing that I really appreciate, she said, if you got it. When she said about leaving the doctor's office, and the doctor said, well, you didn't ask me about the amount of time. Most people, that's exactly what they want to know. They want to know time so they can go tell everybody. So they can make that confession and say, I'm believing God, and it ain't going to work for them because all they're doing is blowing wind. They're going to say what the doctor said in time. Doctor said, don't you want to know how long it's going to be? And she was bold enough to say it in front of other people. She didn't hide what she believed because of whether or not somebody, she didn't know the other ladies were going to go say amen. She didn't know that. You got to get your voice out there. If you ain't going to get your voice out there, I'm just going to tell you, this stuff ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. You got to get your voice out there. And that's what she did. But she's pushing her faith out there, and she was, and it did. I mean, she took a recovery in 2 weeks, which is, man, just I mean, that's just really good. I know, because I remember with Wanda's aunt years ago had shingles, and what she went through with shingles, man, it was, she had a time. And, you know, it's just like what Eileen said. Eileen said, well, you know, if you will not have, you know, see, everybody, she's believing she received her healing, and what do people come along and do? Oh, don't make Thanksgiving dinner. No. No, see, you're too sick. You need to start confessing you're too sick, and you need to go rest like you're too sick. Well, I'm believing I'm healed, but you're too sick. And what'd she do? She said, no. She said, but what did she do? She understood her faith. She said, well, I didn't try to do it all at one time. I made parts of it at a time. But you know what? The whole time when she's doing that, she's operating against that. She is operating, doing something, not going and just go. See, that's what I learned as a baby Christian, standing up on that oven, 500 degrees. And I'll guarantee you, 99.9% of Christians who said that they believe in healing would have said, it's crazy up there. No, I'm up there acting in faith. See, I believed I received my healing. I'm standing up there thanking God I'm healed. Feeling like I'm going to throw up. Got a headache. Body's aching, weak. And I'm up there scraping plates on up. It's like, aren't we having fun now? But you know what you do? And I just... You know, you just keep acting. You keep acting. That's what she did. She kept acting. She, no, I'm not going to quit. No, I'm not going to go lay down and just do what everybody else wants you to do. See, this is what people need to understand this. So her faith. But she understood her faith, and she found ways to act on the Word of God, to continue to act like she was healed. And what she do? She ended up pushing that car up a hill. And she did it by herself. I know she didn't have a lot of help because others were telling her not to do. So understand this. The other people were getting in the car while she's trying to push it. And you're going to find this. other Christians are going to always come and jump in the car you're trying to push. They always will. I'm not being disparaging to people, but most Christians don't understand faith. They don't understand it. They think they're being good to the person. They do. I don't believe they're trying to be bad to the individual. I mean, if you find somebody it is, you throw them out and don't ever talk to them. You tell them they either repent or don't talk to them again. They're trying to be evil. But I don't believe most people are trying to be evil. I think they just don't know. And they don't realize that what they do is like them crawling inside and putting more weight in that car when you're trying to get that thing pushed. And they don't know that. So understand, that's why you gotta develop in this thing. Because really, you are in an uphill battle. But I want to tell you this. You will develop to the point they can load that car and you'll push that thing right up the hill. You will. I'm telling you. If you will listen to this stuff, you tell them all to jump in the car. You can tell them to go get their friends and come over. You'll push that thing up the hill. Oh yeah, your faith will push that thing up. It's faith in God's Word. It'll perform. It will do it. You'll push that car. I don't worry how many, I don't care anymore how many are against me, because the Bible says this, if God is for me, who could be against me? In other words, it don't matter. Tell them to load the car. I'll push them poor babies wherever they want to go. Hallelujah. But your faith will do it. You'll find it. Your faith will come to the point and you'll learn it. You know, you're starting off, it is a struggle. It is. It seems like it's real. But after a while, I found out, I could go and that car could be loaded up and I could turn around and sit there from a standpill, throw the brake off on that thing and I would just push it. At first it wasn't like that. At first, my God, you're taking all the weight out of that thing you can. Light enough. Open the trunk. Take a spare. But understand what you're doing. So this battle, this thing you're going through, but your faith will work. It's continued. But find out, your faith will work best when you know what you can believe. Don't ever be ashamed. Don't let people or try to be, make people think that you're something you're not. In other words, if you can't push something by yourself, just be honest with it. Don't worry about it. It's better that you get well then try to prove something to somebody. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. This is between you and God. Not you and me or you and somebody else. It's between you and God. God's greatest interest is that you get well. That's His greatest interest, is that you get well. Jesus went to a lot of trouble for you to be well. He died, went to hell, paid the punishment for you so you could be well. And so you think He's going to be fighting against you on your path to get well. He's not. He's not going to push you beyond where your faith is, because that would be stupidity. That wouldn't make any sense. It's like you hurt an individual. You've heard, people race have lifting weights, try to lift more weight they can handle and mess themselves all up, and doing things. Well, God isn't going to do that either. That doesn't make any sense that God would want you to have to put more pressure against something than you could handle. It would destroy you. It's like you could destroy a child trying to teach them things beyond what they can understand or comprehend. You can ruin them. And it's the same way. God's not going to do that to you. So find out where you are in your faith. There's nothing the matter with the fact. I'd rather have a person take medicine and stand and believe God where they can. And instead get well. And at least stay well. Stay good till they get around, build their faith, they get a hold of something. I'd rather see that than go ahead. And I've watched people try to do things. I've watched people that turned down cancer treatment that would have helped them because they weren't in a position of faith at the time. And I knew that. I knew what they were coming against, but they wouldn't do it. I mean, at Rhema, we had a guy who was a Rhema graduate who was an evangelist. God used him powerfully. He was powerful. He died. He got cancer. Brother Hagin tried to talk him into taking some treatments, and he wouldn't do it. He's standing in faith and believing God, and he died. But Brother Hagin knew he wasn't in a position to stand. There was nothing wrong with that. Like Fred Price's wife, God told her. He said there was a doctor who treated cancer. So she got liver cancer. He told her, you have a doctor that's in your congregation, and he's a specialist in this area. And he said, you go talk to him. And whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And you know what? She's completely well, got healed of cancer. But some other things that she found out is him and her were talking. I have a video of them was done years ago about that. And they said if she would have went to the doctor, said she would have probably, if she'd got healed of cancer, she'd probably end up getting cancer again because of things in her life she was doing that were really hurting her health. She didn't consider it, but she was hurting herself. Things that she was doing. It was really toxic to her liver. She wasn't drinking. See, people don't know. She never drank water itself. The only beverage she ever drank was coffee. She only ever drank coffee. See, people don't realize, you know, your liver filters everything that goes out of your body. Your liver is your filter. If all you do is junk, you won't ever wash that thing out. You're always, you know, coffee ain't bad, but I'm going to tell you, people are coffeeholics, and in God's eyes, they are no better than an alcoholic. Now, see, they're acceptable in the church today. You can be coffeeholics, cokeholics, you know, this holic, that holic. You can be that, and you're all right, but they'll run down an alcoholic. But in God's eyes, you ain't no better. And I know the way God dealt with me over coffee. I put down the booze and picked up the coffee. And he didn't treat me like I was any better than the guy that used to drink the booze. He told me about it. I was a coffeeholic. I mean, I just could not. I mean, I just drank from more coffee all the time. He told me. He said, you know, it dominates you. It rules you. And I thought, well, I wasn't as bad as I was when I drank. But not in God's eyes. But I just want to encourage you this. So when you deal with medicine, you need to know where your faith is at, and you listen to God. You know, God will be your big helper. It's number one, if you're in an area, quit running around. People lots of times do this. They're asking everybody else what they ought to do. Ask God. See, I believe he'll talk to you and give you good wisdom. He always did to me. He'd always give me good wisdom about what I should do. God will show you. And this one thing is, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I would rather hear what God said because then I can stand wherever he says. Where people might tell you to stand someplace they don't know. They might tell you to stand maybe where they can believe. And so that wouldn't be good for you if you can't stand there. You know, I've had people on both sides. I've had people come along and want you to stand. They had more faith than you did in an area. They think you ought to stand there. I've had people come along and ask you to go down to something lesser. I say, hold on, I don't want to do that either. I've had people tell, oh, you know, you're getting out there too far. Well, no, if I know where I can stand. So I got a wisdom from Kenneth Hagin Jr., who said one time, he used to tell us the fact of, he said, if a person comes along to me and says God told them to do a certain thing, he said, who am I to say to them about, you know, and tell them to do or not to do? He said, even if I don't think it's a good idea, he said, they said God told them to do it, so they're going to have to do it. As long as they feel God told them to do it, they're going to have to deal with that. I've had people come along and I know they said God told them something, but I knew that God didn't tell them that. They were hearing what they wanted to hear about a subject and things didn't work out well for them. But I didn't run and tell them, don't do that, because it ain't none of my business. They said God told them. They're going to have to deal with that, whether it's God or not. That's up to them. They have to deal with that. And you too. That's why I make sure you hear from God. But if you're turning around and you're taking medication, you know, one of the things to do when you take them, if you're taking medication for something and you're dealing with that, but you believe that God wants you well and you believe you receive your healing. When you take your medication, when you're doing that, you know, say, I believe the healing power of God was administered to me. I believe that it's working within me mightily. I believe that I received when I prayed. Say that when you take your medicine. See, people don't speak and remind themselves. You know what they'll do? They'll take that medicine. The whole time they think, boy, that medicine controlling. No, you're not relying on the medicine. The medicine, you know, how many medicines do people take that heal them? Not few. Most medicines are to control something. They don't heal it. They control it. That's why they have it, take it for the rest of your life stuff. But if you can't control it, you better take the medicine to control it. You better do something. You can't control it. You can't bring it under control. If it's things that could threaten your life and cause you a real problem. You know, years ago, an individual, and I mean, I had to take them to the doctor, and when I took them to the doctor a few times, and when they go to the doctor, they would give the person they check their blood pressure and all this stuff. And this person's blood pressure was always really high. Always, really. Their blood pressure was always really high. So But they would always tell them, well, you have probably blood pressure? Oh, no, my blood pressure is always good, you know, about always come to the doctor. Well, I listed this for a number of times over the years. And finally, one time I just stopped the person and said, I want to know something. I said, every time I take you to the doctor, they ask you about blood pressure. Your blood pressure is always high. And I said, you got this, and you always say, oh, no, my blood pressure is such and such. He said, that's my confession of faith. Well, I said, is your confession of faith working? I said, you got all these years, and you've been running high blood pressure, telling the doctor that your blood pressure is good, but your blood pressure, I said, your faith has never changed your blood pressure. You got high blood pressure. And the person's high blood pressure was affecting other areas of their health, was getting bad. And see, what people didn't realize is, you know, you run around, you keep it up with high blood pressure, it affects a lot of other things in your body. It just ain't high blood pressure. You know, the person would start getting dizzy spells and all that kind of stuff happening. You know, you want to be driving around down the road here and get a dizzy spell and, you know, run off and kill somebody else in your faith. See, this is where Christians have to get some sense and think. You know, this is one thing. Faith always walks in love. You don't do something to endanger somebody else and call it your faith. You know, that ain't faith. But, you know, and I said to the individual, I said, look, you haven't been able to bring this thing under control. And I said, you keep telling this doctor this thing. But I said, it's causing you other problems. And you're having other problems, and the doctor's trying to figure out, I said, why are you going to the doctor? What on earth do you even bother going to the doctor? Because you go to the doctor, and you're not going to be honest about the thing, and you're not going to... Why do you go? See, sometimes I don't understand people go to the doctor. They go to the doctor, and they ain't going to do what he says. Well, see, the Bible says this, whatever we do in faith. Whatever isn't of faith is sin. If you go to the doctor, and you weren't going to listen to him, you ain't going to go by faith anyhow. So why were you going to the doctor? You did a sin to go to begin with. People don't realize what they're operating against. We get into weird stuff here. This bit called faith, people got into weird things. If I go to the doctor, I don't go to the doctor unless I need to go to the doctor. And if I go to the doctor, I'm going there because I need help. If I didn't think I needed help... You know, I don't take my car to the garage to see, you know, just to go down there and say, you know, he tells me, you know, your brakes are bad. Well, I don't believe that, and I'm not gonna confess that. I'm just gonna keep up. No, don't fix it. I ain't fixing those brakes. I just came down here just to you to check it. The people do. I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I have nothing. If I went to a doctor, I'd go to the doctor. Because if I need help, if I find out what's wrong, I might find out if I do understand how to use my faith to go against this thing, if I need to do, if I need a medication, or if I don't. Maybe I'll go and find out what's happening and think, I can stand against this. I can do this. Or I might go and say, hey, you know, this problem's been bugging me. I'm going to get some help. And then I'm going to bring this thing under control. I'm going to do it. I'm going to deal with it. Some things you might need time. But I learned this. If I would have something going on in a period of time and you can't get, and I'm not, it's not working, then I need to get some help. And I go to the doctor for that. See, a lot of people, is today, we just, is really, you know, this goes not just for the churches in the world too. People go to the world, go to the doctor and don't pay no attention to it. Don't pay no attention. Just go do whatever they want anyhow. You know, you can't, if you have an ailment, you can't bring it under control. You can't run around doing things that aggravate that ailment. Because you can sit and say you're believing all you want. That's a joke. Your faith can't bring it under control. You better do the things. If he tells you need to be on a diet, you better get there because you can't bring it under control. You better get there. You better do what you can to bring it under control. Till your faith comes to a place where you can deal with it. You need to do that. See, people play games with everything. They play games with it, call it faith and everything. And there ain't no faith involved in it at all. It's no faith. And so, but you need to know that you can get yourself over there. If you take medication, when you take medication, make a statement of faith. You put something in your body. I tell people this all the time. We put things in our body. We talk about praying over our food when we eat. Wouldn't we pray over our medicine? Sanctify what you're going to put in your body. Use your faith. Use your faith. See, people are doing many things and not using their faith, what the Bible tells us to do. And so sanctify it. You know, it'd be good to be sanctified. I mean, if you're taking a medication and you look at the list of side effects, do you want them? You better have faith to know how to keep side effects from happening. You want the good from it, but you don't want that other stuff from that, do you? You know? So sanctify it. You know? You know, there's another thing. You go to the doctor prescribes how you're supposed to take it. Take it the way he says it. Don't you decide, well, I'll tell you, I don't think I need it now. There are people, they bring things under control with the medication, then they stop taking it, and the medication, and they don't realize the medication was keeping it under control, not their faith. And then they go back to and they never get better. And then they always wonder why. They don't realize they are their own worst enemy. They are. You know, have you ever been your own worst enemy? I'm going to raise my hand. I don't know if you would or not, but I have sometimes been my own worst enemy. So, not that I tried to be, but I did a good job of it nonetheless. I was pretty good at it. Praise the Lord. Well, we might learn to laugh at yourself. Learn to be honest and laugh at yourself, because if you take yourself too seriously, you'll never get in faith. And so, but I, you know, these things are really helpful, because see, people struggle with these things in these areas of what should I do? What should I walk with? What's inside of you to do? If you don't believe you need to take it, if you believe you can stand, well, good. But understand, you are dealing with the fact. I believe if you honestly, and I've done it, I've done this already. I think some things when I was a younger Christian, I stood in some places and some things that were pretty hard. They were life and death situations. Stood over the years of faith, didn't do a thing about it, the natural standpoint. Stood in faith about it and saw God do stuff. But, you know, really, I believe God did things because of me, not because I was so perfect in my faith. I think he was definitely helping me push that car. I believe there was, he was, this boy's faith needs somebody out there pushing with him. But, and I believe that. But it's one thing. That's why I think if you go over and legitimately, and not trying to, you know, like I said, don't try to prove something to other people. Don't try to say you're doing something when you're unable to do it. Just trying to impress somebody else, not to think that, well, you don't have enough faith. I don't care what a person thinks about. If I don't have the faith to stand where somebody else does in an area, I'm not going to say I do. And I'm not going to try to go do it that way or go that way. That'd be stupid, because I won't accomplish anything. Nothing will happen, and I don't want to go there. So don't get pushed into those areas. Always stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit, though. Always stay sensitive, because this is where you have to listen. God will give you directions sometimes, or maybe even show you things that you need to do to correct things. I know just from a preventive maintenance type things of medically. I was out years ago, used to do a lot of running, and I was out running one day, and all of a sudden, just up inside of me, it came right up out of my spirit. You need to take, he said, take a multiple vitamin that has extra iron in it. I mean, it just came right up inside of me. And you know what? I knew that I knew at the time the Holy Spirit told me to. And I went for the run, and I came home, and Wanda was there. I said, Wanda, I said, you know, I said, I know it was the Lord. I said, just spoke up to me to take a multiple vitamin with extra iron in it. And I said, well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to, you know, I ate pretty good, that kind of things. And I, you know, so, but I did. Well, I would regularly give blood, and I'd regularly go in the hospital and get blood. And the guy who handled the thing where you gave blood, who did that, I knew him, was a good Christian guy. And so I'd give him a call every once in a while, you know, when it would be periods of time that I could give blood. I'd give him a call and say, hey, I'm going to come in and want to get an appointment, come in and donate blood. I'd go in the hospital and I'd go down he had like a little lab he had there where they took blood, and he worked in there by himself, and I would go into there, and I went in to see him, and we'd go in and talk. And the one time I went in, and he turned around, he took my blood pressure, did my pulse, and he said to me, man, your pulse is low. He said, it's down to about 30. Now, see, people say, oh, man, you have too low a pulse. And he said, are you a runner? And I said, yeah. I said, I run. He said, oh, that's normal. He said, when you get in, you do a lot of running and you rest position, he said, your pulse will drop way down. But see, there's nothing wrong with that. See, most people say, oh, it's got to be 60. And they've raised that now, you know, because most people's pulses are so much higher now, they raised what the normal is. You know, if they just keep people running it higher and higher, after a while, you know, 200 will be the normal if people get bad enough health. Anyhow, so, but he said this to me. Then he said, do you take iron as a vitamin? Do you take iron? And I said to him, I said, isn't that interesting? I said, you know, a couple months ago, I said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me while I was out running. And I said, I was running down the road and came up with me to take a multiple vitamin with extra iron in it. Oh, he said, that's good. He said, when you run, he said, your blood's pumping through your body very real fast. He said, when you're going along, when you're running. And he said, it can damage red corpuscles because of their being pushed through the body fast. But he said, if you take extra iron, he said, don't affect you at all. He said, the body will just replace those, no sweat. He said, you'll never affect you. Well, God knew that. So, you know, praise God. Dr. God told me what to do dealing with a problem that it could have arose and caused a problem. If I wasn't doing that, taking the extra iron, I could have eventually maybe come up and had a problem in that area. And that stuff would have been not enough red blood cells. So the red blood corpuscles wouldn't have been there. So they carry the oxygen to your body. So that wouldn't have been good. And so God knew that and told me. That's why I listen to the Holy Spirit. Always listen to the area. God shows you that you need to deal with something in your life. This is one thing. Sometimes people aren't healed. Unforgiveness. You know, Mark 11:24 is a great scripture, but Mark 11:25 is too. When you stand praying, if you have aught against anyone, tells you what to do. In other words, you deal with things. You need to understand it stops prayer from being answered. Unforgiveness will stop you from receiving things from God. See, we need to know that. You need to know. People get over into areas and they have things in their life that they're not dealing right with or doing right. And people need to know that. I know sometimes people are standing for healing. And you know things about people's lives. And they're not doing right. And they wonder, they're dealing with stuff and having a hard time. And they're wanting, what they want is, well, they just keep acting out of the idea of, oh, pray for me and pray for me. You can pray all you want. That ain't until they deal with their problem. It's not going to change. And, you know, God ain't sitting around clubbing anybody over the head. God is gracious. I mean, He's given me a lot of time. God delivered me from things when I needed to straighten stuff out, and I hadn't done it. But over time, you're going to have to deal with it. And I've lurked over time. Sometimes I've run into areas and that stuff of faith-wise where I was struggling in my faith, and I had to deal with some things. And you deal with things, it's amazing how it turns stuff around. So you need to understand that. So forgiving or putting away sin is a small price to pay for your health. And so we need to know that. If we have to, you know, if we've done something to somebody, we need to go make that straight, go tell them. Let me say this about going, and this is one of the things that over the years I've had people come to me. I haven't here for, you know, the last number of years. I haven't had this much. But boy, all told over the years, numbers of times, I've had Christians come and say they have had, you know, needed something or they've done to somebody and they needed to go ask forgiveness for or something. And what they do is they go ask the person to forgive them and the person won't. So what they do is they get all bent out of shape. And I've had them come to me and say, well, I went to so-and-so and I asked them to forgive me and they won't forgive me. And I look at them and say, well, what do you want me to do? Go shoot them? Or go threaten their lives? What do you want me to do? See, you need to understand, it don't matter whether they want to forgive you or not. That isn't what, it's about you going and confessing what you did. If they don't want to forgive, man, they're the ones in trouble, not you. If they don't want to forgive, you know, that's up to them. See, people think, oh, well, they won't forgive me for it. They don't have to. God didn't say they had to forgive you. He said, you go make it right. You made your part right. That's what you do, whether they forgive you or not. The guy don't forgive me. He ain't hurting me. He's hurting himself. That don't affect me. If he doesn't, my God, he's going to pray and he ain't going to get healed. I mean, that'd be dumb. But if somebody, see, and I see people do that, I say, what are you talking about? So what, they don't forgive you? Well, see, some people, that's the whole thing. You know, everything's got to be made right for me. You know, I don't want to put up with anything. They're little whiners is what they are. They don't see themselves as that. But they become little whiners. You know, they think the world revolves around them. No, we're out here in the world. There's all kind of crazy stuff going on. And you understand, you ain't being targeted specifically many times by people. It's just the devil and the way he works. And it's like, get over it. Don't let it throw you. But you confess your sin, and that's what you do. You go with that person and you say, hey, you know, I did such and such wrong. They don't want to say, I just apologize. I want to ask you to forgive me. And they say, well, I ain't going to forgive you for that. Say, well, I wish you would for your sake. I wish you would because, you know, I don't want this to hurt you. My mistake, I don't want to hurt you, but if you're going to let it hurt you, that's up to you. I can't do that. I go on. I like something Randy Greer said about his father-in-law. He said his father-in-law was a man who was always quick to forgive and quick to repent. And he said about it, he said, my father-in-law would go, he messed up, he said he'd go before God and confess his sin and stuff. And he said he would go before God. He said he was a man very sincere about it. When he'd go before God, he'd miss it. He said he would be very repentant before God. But when he said he got up from that place of prayer, he said he would always be full of joy and everything else. He said he just believed the word. God forgave him. And he said he acted like God forgave him. He didn't walk around acting like, you know, he was in a bunch of trouble. And you got to learn to do that. If you do blow it, you know, you've done something wrong. It's not specifically against an individual. And you just need to tell the Lord, Lord, I sinned. I did this wrong or I did that. You tell God those things. Learn to accept by faith the forgiveness of God. Most people have the most, they never accept forgiveness. They never believe they receive it when they prayed. They don't ever believe they received their forgiveness. Say, thank God he forgave me. It's not holding that against me. Glory to God. And you do that. If you, God shows you and you went to somebody and they didn't forgive you, that's all right. Say, Lord, I went, did what the word said. I went, I asked that person to forgive me. Lord God, I thank you. You forgave me. Hallelujah. I'm forgiven. I'm right in line to have my healing. Hallelujah. It's mine. See, you got to learn to do those things. You have to learn to do that. Because going along, I will tell you, you'll be standing believing you receive and you'll turn around and mess up. And I've watched people that go do something and messed up. And what they do is they carry that thing. Well, I did this or I did that. Then they get in a little wimpy whining mode. And not, they don't go over and say, look, Lord, I blew it here. I want to thank you. I confess it. Say what it is. And say, thank you for forgiving me and cleansing me from all unrighteousness. And I want to thank you. Healing belongs to me. Hallelujah. It's mine. No, they'll sit and go through months and months and months and months. Wimping and whining. Learn to do that. Learn to confess your sin. If you missed it, confess it. Go right back over and act like you never did nothing wrong because in God's eyes, you didn't. Understand this about faith. Most people are trying to live a naturally perfect life. You will never please God doing that. Now, you ask people, can you live a perfect life? People will say, well, no. Well, yes, you can, by faith. By faith, you can live a perfect life. That doesn't mean you do everything right. By faith, if I blow it, I can cleanse anything that I blew by faith. And God considers you has done nothing wrong. God considers you perfect. You need to understand. If you don't understand that, you'll never understand righteousness and you'll never walk in faith. Because you can't. The only righteousness you ever have before God is by faith. Your righteousness to be healed is by faith. And if you don't believe, you believe you're wrong and living wrong, then you don't have the righteousness to receive. It requires righteousness to receive anything from God. And that righteousness is by faith. Always is. I have a right for healing if I operate in the parameters of faith. I have a right to be healed. That's my right. I am righteous to be healed. Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. His believing what the promise said, was Abraham perfect? God considered him perfect because he operated by faith. He did what he knew by faith. If we miss it, we confess our sin and we're cleansed from what? All unrighteousness. Therefore, it's as if I have never sinned. I am righteous. I had God specifically speak to me as a young Christian and told me this. He said, you're perfect before me. I thought it was the devil because I heard too much religious teaching. He said, you're perfect before me. That perfection was something by faith. And I want you to get that. It's by faith. Because if I do wrong, I'll confess it. See, that's what God wants. You can live perfect before God by faith. Faith will just, bah, if you miss it, you can get it cleared up by faith. And it's removed. You know, people say, oh, God removed my sin from the east, far as the east is from the west. And most people say that, never believe it. Because they live and believe that they're unrighteous. They believe that they're all, you know, they'll magnify their mistakes more than they'll magnify what the Word says all the time. Oh, God removed my sin. Yes? When are you going to believe that? I know He removed it, but He put it right over there next to me. He just moved it from there to there. That's all He did. Right there it is. And up in heaven, He's got it all in a book. And when I get there, He's going to show me all the mistakes I made. There we go. Anything that you did in this realm that you confessed of, it ain't in heaven. If it's on record there, then God's a liar. If it's on record, then He's a liar. It's not removed. He's a liar. So you have to know that. If you don't understand that, you don't achieve perfection by works, but you can by faith. You can get perfectly in line. Abraham was perfect in line to receive what God wanted him to have. He was perfect in the eyes of God. He was completely righteous. You have the righteousness of God. When I'm operating by faith, I'm operating in God's righteousness, which is perfect. Somebody says, well, your righteousness ain't perfect. Well, then I don't have God's righteousness, and then I'm not in faith. All this stuff is a bunch of bunk. When I'm operating in God's faith, I'm operating in perfection. I'm operating in the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And I have been made that through faith in Christ. And maintain it there. If you blow it in the natural, then just confess your sin. And let the blood of Jesus remove that unrighteousness, and then you confess your righteousness. Confess your faith in what God will do. And so I just encourage you to do that. Hallelujah. You always want to just maintain your relationship. Always maintain these foundational things. Tell people. Too many people want healed, but they have no foundation for their healing. They have no foundation in them. People have to get a foundation in them for their healing. They got to get the Word of God in it. They got to believe. There's things they have to believe. And so I just encourage you to just tell people, you know, let people know things that they have to believe if they want to be healed. It's one thing to go to a meeting like, say, Benny Hinn, where most people are getting healed under gifts of the Spirit and operation. But you can't always get to a Benny Hinn meeting. You can't always get to those. And I'm going to tell you, you're not always going to be healed that way, because the Bible, it says, as the Spirit wills. The Spirit is not going to always heal an individual through gifts of the Spirit. It's not going to happen. I'll just guarantee you, it's not. Kenneth Hagin said about 25% of people who come forward for healings and meetings get healed, about 25%. Because why? People are expected to believe something and many don't. They don't even believe, you know, that. You know, God told Kenneth Hagin to tell people that, you go tell them that you saw me and I put my fingers in your hand, you know, the palm of your left hand and, you know, and right hand, and you know, I imparted you a healing anointing. And you tell them, if they believe that you saw me, then I did that, put that anointing in your hands. And you tell them that they'll believe that when you lay hands on them, that power will go into them and heal them. Yet lots of people went up to Kenneth Hagin, and he would tell people that. And they would go up, and you know what? Because people didn't know enough about God or anything, and people don't develop themselves, and they'd question mind whether he saw God or whether he... God told them that way. People, he said it would happen. People believe it, get healed. But you had to believe something. See, God didn't tell people, just come on up, don't believe a thing, and you'll get it. This is what most people want. I just go get it. So, amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you today as we've looked in your Word concerning these things. And Father, as people listen to these things, you know, Father, if they download these and listen to them, Father, I pray that they understand the...